We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Exodus chapter 20. If you haven't figured it out, okay, if you haven't figured it out yet, we are going to be talking about God's name this morning. Amen? God's name. And we are now at this, what we would call third commandment. And the thing is, the extent of many believers' knowledge of this third commandment ends about right here. Well, we shouldn't take God's name in vain. That's it. Now, how many of you know that's true? We shouldn't take God's name in vain. Okay, well, that's a good response right there, and that's pretty good. How many of you know that God's name is to not be used as a swear word? Okay, so after that, we're like, that's it. Don't say God's name in vain. Done. Well, what I have discovered is that not only sometimes does our knowledge fall far short of just that statement, some of us have extrapolated from the text and extended this to think that, you know, you shouldn't cuss either. Now, how many of you know you shouldn't cuss? Well, that was a really underwhelming... I sense some of you were swearing this morning on the way to church. I don't know that, but how do you know you shouldn't cuss, right? You know, don't use profanity. Don't have a potty mouth, okay? If that's all we think the commandment is, you know, if that's all we think, just, you know, don't take God's name in vain. You know, don't say GD. And don't cuss, you know, especially big words. Because some of you, remember the first time my boys came to me, they're like, Dad, there's a cuss word in the Bible. Like, well, it's not really it's the proper name. Oh, so can we say that word? No. Okay, just checking, right? If we think that that's all there is to this third commandment, we've missed it by a long shot. So if you're in Exodus 20, would you say amen? And here we go. Verse 7, Exodus 20 now. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God, say it, everybody, including the balcony, what? In vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, many believers sit in church, and we would never say those two words, God. We would never say that. We would never, we would shudder. We would think, oh, that's just vile and filth. And it is. It is. But here's the reality. Our tongue is attached to our heart. And while cussing and dirty speech and crude language and a foul tongue is its own sin, the greater blasphemy in the lives of many of God's children is a life of lip service. See, Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. But let's all say this together, but their heart is far from me. You see, the worst blasphemy is not profanity, but hypocrisy. The worst blasphemy is not just profanity, as we're going to talk about it, but it's hypocrisy. When we bear the name of the Lord in vain, to take his name. How many of you in here could raise your hand and say, yes, I'm a Christian? Amen. Amen. Some of you in the balcony, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. Very deeply concerned, okay? And if you say, I'm a Christian, then you are bearing the name of who? Of God. And if you say that and you proclaim that, but then you live opposite to that or in contradiction to that, you are bearing or taking the name of the Lord, how? In vain. When we fail to do this, we send a confusing message to people. You know, if we think that God was just telling his people, now listen, don't go around cussing and don't use my name as a curse word. Okay, commandment number 4. If that's what we think, friends, the nation, the Jewish people, God's chosen people, called by God to bear His name, to represent Him. Israel was to show the nations. We were just singing that. Let the nations sing it louder that nothing has the power to save but what? Your name. That was the tagline. If you were singing, you would have caught that. God chose a nation to bear His name, to show His name, to proclaim His name. And their lives and their lips were to be consistent. Don't take my name, don't represent me in vain. To bear His name or to take His name in vain is to misrepresent God. And boy, don't we have a society filled with people running around misrepresenting God today? Well, God told me that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but just bears saying, even at this moment, we have a lot of people saying they represent God when the truth is they don't. You see, the reality of a relationship with God is evidenced more by our living than simply what comes out of our mouth. You say, Pastor, are you saying it's okay to cuss? No, I'm not saying that. But who in here has never swore? Thank you for being so honest in church, because the minute someone's hand went up, the person alongside was going, yes, you did. I heard you that one time. We could argue curse words. We could argue their origin. We could argue how they got started and how only ignorant people use them. I did a study on this, and you'd be shocked about where cursing and cussing comes from. And by the way, someone who doesn't know the Lord, when they're running around taking His name in vain, have no idea what they're doing. Like, oh, he just took God's name in vain. He doesn't know God. It's far worse for someone who knows God than to swear His name than to someone who doesn't. This is so important. It's key to understanding the text. I'm not arguing that we should run around and use foul language or crudeness in our speech. It's a reflection, by the way, if you do have a foul tongue or you do cuss or you do, you know, speak foul language coming out of your mouth, it's because it's what's in your heart. I quote, somebody said this, I don't know who said it, I'd certainly give them credit for it, but it says that when a person uses profanity, it shows two things. Number one, an empty head, and number two, a dirty heart. Now, let's just cut to the chase. No one in here is going to raise their hand and say, well, this one time I got really mad and I got angry and I just said, thank you, Jesus. No. Let's raise our hand and say, a word flew out of my mouth that shouldn't have. Okay. And for those of you who want to put your hand up, then the rest of you can put your hand up and say, but I sure thought it. I didn't say it, but I sure... It was rolling around, man. I wanted to say it. You see, profanity is a feeble mind trying to express himself in a forceful way. That's what it is. Now, hands up. Let's do a quick poll in here. Hands up. How many of you ever got your mouth washed out with soap? Anybody in here a connoisseur of Dawn or Dove or... Right? If your parents wanted to be real mad, they used the squirty soap. You know what I'm talking about, squirty soap? How many of you back in the day, remember soap was just a bar, you know? And a bar in the mouth, right? Now, hands up. How many of you after the incident, after the mouth washing, okay? How many of you after the incident, be honest, how many of you cursed again? How many of you had the bar of soap in your mouth like, ha, ha, ha? Say amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Go ahead. Right? Why did that happen? Why after you had your mouth washed out with soap? Listen carefully. Because the soap was applied to the wrong place. It should have been applied to the heart and the head, not the tongue. So you can scrub the tongue all you want, but you got to scrub the heart and you got to scrub the mind in order to have a clean mouth. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, anybody know the rest? Mouth speaks. So you should note this morning, that the problem in Christian circles is we have learned to control our speech but not change our heart. We've learned how to not, you know, we can turn it off. Look up this way. Everyone in here has done this. Have you ever been having a moment with your spouse or a moment with your child and things are just raging and the phone rings? You're like, hey, man, what's going on? And your wife's like, hypocrite. You said a word you should have never said, and then someone else says it, and you're like, man, that guy's a filthy tongue, man. I would never talk like that. That's so vile. Do we've learned, and here's what else we have, and I don't have time to get on this. I just took this out of my notes, but we even have Christian cuss words, don't we? Please just nod your head. You know what I'm talking about. You don't say the word, but you insert a different word, which means the same word, because you're saying that word in your head, but you're just using a different word. That way you don't appear as a lost person. But in your heart, you're saying the word. Please say amen. You know what I'm talking about. Please don't look pious and spiritual this morning. Everyone in here has done it. We're talking about taking God's name, Jehovah, in vain. And it has so much to do with our living as much as it does our speaking. You see, as a nation, Israel's call on their life by God was to be an example to all the other nations. And all the other nations who made Jehovah God their God would be blessed. They were to bear the name of the Lord. Now, the truth is, they were to represent Him. And we, as Christians, we bear the name of Christ. We bear the name of God, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. And we indeed are called, as Micah said, in the worship time to be ambassadors, a representative, someone who speaks on behalf of. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, this is what Paul told the church. You're ambassadors, you're representatives, you represent God. And we are to bear His name with honor and speak His name with righteousness. And the mission of bearing and speaking the name is for the purpose of reconciliation, to bring people to God. You see, what I have discovered in my studies about the Bible in general over the years is a lot of us look at the Scriptures very negatively. We see it as a list of rules, of do's and don'ts, and thou shalt not. And we look at the Ten Commandments, we're like, well, it says right there, thou shalt not. Yeah, but take, for example, and I'm going to jump ahead for like 30 seconds here. Look at verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. So we look at that and we're like, man, I can't commit adultery. Yeah, but what that does mean is you are to be faithful to your spouse. Work on your relationship. Marriage is a beautiful, wonderful, glorious thing. And all of the married people shouted.
Amen.
Whew, all right. We tend to look at the Scriptures with this negative view. God's a cosmic killjoy. I can't have any fun. Being a Christian's so hard. Stop. There's a positive to the honoring God's name. And that is to lift His name up. That is to make Jesus the center of your life. God's not saying, now listen, don't sit around and try not to cuss and don't call out people that are, okay? That is not what this third commandment is about. Come on, Christian, there's way more to it than that. There's way more to it than that. God's name is powerful. God's name is life-changing. God's name will save your soul. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is, read it loud with me, for there is, how many? None other name. Say it with me. Under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. It is the powerful, life-changing name of God that turns a man around, that turns a woman around. I asked a guy not too long ago who had lived a life of debauchery. I said, tell me, what was it that turned the corner? He said, let me tell you, one word, God. Jesus Christ changed my life. Because it's His name that saved my soul. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. A wretch. It was His name. Paul told the church at Philippi, wherefore, God hath also highly exalted Him and given Him a, what? Name, which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Understand this morning when we talk about don't take God's name in vain. Let's look at the positive side first of all. Point number one, the name of the Lord must be proclaimed. The name of the Lord must be proclaimed. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God revealed himself to Moses, and he was the one true living God. And he said to Moses, I am. That sums it all up right there, doesn't it? I am, he says. He declares to Moses his power, his majesty, his sovereignty, his perfection. And the children of Israel saw God's character on display in his actions and who God was. Listen, friends, we are on dangerous ground when we try and rename God. When you say, well, you know, I know what the Bible says, but... Man, listen, I know I've said that, so God forgive me. Okay? You be careful. Well, I just think God wouldn't what? I just, you know, God, he wouldn't do it. Listen, God, be careful. You're demeaning his name. You're taking him down a few notches. You're bringing him to your level. Ask Pharaoh how that worked out for him. The name Jehovah in the Hebrew appears 7,000 times in the Old Testament. It was such a sacred name that the Jews would barely say it in public for fear of misrepresenting God. In fact, when they were translating the scriptures, every time they came across the name Jehovah as they were writing, they would break their pens. They would pray, they would wash, and they would start writing again. We have totally lost the sacred name of God today. The point is, as powerful and as majestic as God's name is, and as careful as we should be in using God's name, the positive side of this command is that God's name is to be proclaimed. People need to know who God is, yes or no? Yes. It's what God told Moses when he went to Egypt. He said, you tell him, I am, has sent them. And let's be clear, okay? We are not Moses. You may look and feel like him, all right? But you're not Moses, amen? But here's the deal. We are sent into a world that is in captivity and sin. I don't know if you're paying attention to what's going on in our world, but it's dark. It's dark. Do you see what happened the last few days? You see what's going on? Our world is so dark. You know why darkness is so strong? Because there's an absence of light. God says, shine my name. Make me known. Proclaim me. We are ambassadors. How do we do this? Three things. Number one, we wear his name. We wear his name. Now, unless you think I'm talking about you going out buying some cheesy Christian t-shirt or some silly bumper sticker that has some cute little phrase on it, or you've got a fish or something and you're like, man, I'm really wearing the name of Jesus here. You are not. I've seen a lot of people have the Joy FM sticker and don't drive like they have joy, all right? We have these Christian t-shirts and you have to stare at them for 5 minutes to figure out what they're even saying. You're like, what is that? What? That doesn't mean that you suddenly now are, I'm wearing the name of, just because I have a suit on or a tie doesn't mean, or because I'm dressed, doesn't mean I'm wearing the name of Jesus. What does it mean? I'm talking about who you are and whose you are. You're wearing his name. You're a Christian. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this, what? Seal. We're going to talk about that in a second. The Lord, look at the verse carefully, the Lord knoweth them that are... How do we then know? Because let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, there it is, what? Depart from iniquity. Wear his name. Show who you are. People say, well, God knows I'm a Christian. Yeah, but does anybody else? That's between me and the Lord. I beg to differ. I beg to differ. Two things show a seal, a mark of authenticity in our life. First one is intimacy with God. God knows us. That word, know, epigenoskos, it's a personal connectivity, one-on-one, mano-a-mano. You have a relationship and God knows you and you know Him. God knows that. But it doesn't end there, you see. It's not just intimacy. It's a departure from iniquity. So what the text is teaching us, there should be clear, evident signs that we wear His name, that there are hallmarks of the grace of God in our life. The Bible calls these hallmarks the fruit of the Spirit and love, joy, peace, and gentleness, goodness, and meekness, and long-suffering, faith. And against such there's no law. I think I left out temperance. And so we wear His name. By the very nature in which we live and act, we are showing people, I'm bearing the name, I'm wearing the name of Jesus. That's how you proclaim His name. And then we share His name. We share His name. It's funny, we have boiled down evangelism to handing a tract to somebody and inviting them to church. We're like, man, I was out winning souls for Jesus today, man. Like, what? I don't think so. You know how you share His name? Rocket science here. You ready? You speak His name. Like, well, I was just giving them a track. Speak! Speak of your faith. Speak the name of Jesus. Share our faith. Teach our faith. Preach the gospel. Engaging people all the time with the idea of, as I'm having this conversation, I'm going to look for an in to evangelize this person. Are you listening? Say amen. That means the person who's serving you your coffee. That means the gal at the drive-thru. That means the woman at the bank who's annoyingly slow. You're like, she needs to get saved right now, I'm telling you, right? Every conversation you're thinking, how can I open something? Maybe not now, but maybe later. Maybe I can open up some dialogue. Maybe I can build a bridge. Maybe I can start a relationship. And then when I come back, I can go again. And when I come back, I can go again. And eventually I can say, hey, can I ask you a question? Can I talk to you? Can I invite you? 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, knowing the terror of the Lord. This verse, hey, can I just say this real quick? I'm nervous to say this, but this verse scares me to death. This verse took on all new meaning to me several months ago as I was finishing a course out in eschatology. Scared me beyond belief. Knowing the terror of the Lord. That's the strongest word you could ever use for fear. To be terrorized. Knowing that, Paul says, we do something. What do? We persuade men. Listen, loved ones. I don't know where you're at in your theology, but I want you to know something. One day God's going to judge this world. He's going to judge. And only He can judge, right? Only He is true. Only He is fair. Only He is just. You and I can argue all day long. Well, I think. It doesn't matter. It matters what God says. So it matters. And God's going to one day judge. Now listen. God will always want to show mercy first. He keeps His wrath locked down until the very last option. But He has promised that He will judge and He will bring justice. You see, right now, we know God and we know Jesus as the great Redeemer. Amen? We know Him as the Lamb of God, right? But one day, He's coming, and in Revelation, the Bible, in essence, calls Him the Grim Reaper. He's coming to reap. He's called in the book of Revelation, the Lion. And my encouragement to you this morning is meet Him as the Lamb and not the Lion. Meet Him as the Redeemer and not the Reaper. Read your Bibles, friend. Read what is coming. Be in fear and let that fear motivate you to say, listen, I got to have a conversation with this person. I got to talk to them. The beginning of wisdom, the Bible says, is the fear of the Lord. The greatest mark of character in anyone's life is that they fear God. Do you know why you should teach your children to obey you? Parents, parents, listen. Do you know why you should teach your children to obey you? Not so you don't look like a fool in public. No, because they need to fear God. The benefit is that you're raising godly children who obey you, even when you're not in their presence. Do you know why we obey the laws of the land? Because there's a greater fear. There's a fear of God. But friends, look at our society. We're losing our fear of God. It's all but gone. That's why nobody obeys. Nobody listens. You can do what you want and get away with it, and it doesn't matter. There is no fear anymore. And the nation is on its last leg when we no longer fear the Lord. We proclaim His name. We wear it. We share it. Number three, we bear it. We bear His name. What does that mean, to bear the name of Jesus? To not take the name of the Lord in vain. To bear His name, this is the hard one. Everyone say hard. No, everyone say hard. Hard is the hard one. To bear His name means you're not going to be liked. Some of you are like, oh, really? Some of you in here are approval junkies. You want everyone's approval. It's like you're still in middle school with the little note. Do you like me? Check yes, check no. Are you mad at me? Wait a minute. To bear the name of Jesus. Look how every disciple died. It didn't go very well. It didn't end well for them. To bear His name means we're not going to be liked. We're going to be looked down on. Oh, you're one of those Jesus people. You're a Bible thumper. You go to one of those churches. I had somebody ask me the other day, they're like, hey, so you're a pastor? I'm like, that's right. Like, what kind of church? I'm like, Baptist. Like, oh, you take up the serpent? I was like, no, but we have a few. I was like, and if you come in, they might bite you. I don't know. No, we don't take up the serpent at Faith Baptist Church. Amen? But that's what people think. They hear the term Christian or Baptist. Ah! You know what Jesus promised His believers? Please listen to this. He never promised prosperity. He promised persecution. Those of you pining away for this perfect life and this... Stop. You're going to live a disappointed life. Because God says, I promised that you were going to get persecuted. All who live godly in Christ Jesus suffer persecution. You know, years ago, it used to be popular to be a Christian here in America. In fact, I think a lot of people still think it's popular. A lot of people just go to church because it makes them look better. We go to church because it helps us do well in society, look better at our jobs. Oh, he's a church-going guy. Let me tell you something. Being a Christian here in America now, it's not popular because we've become the whipping post. And the world's just getting started. Do you hear what I'm saying right now? They're just getting started. You see, it's okay to be anything except a conservative Christian or an evangelical Christian or whatever term you want to put on it. We could argue the terminology all day, but in fact, in a recent article published in the New York Times, the writer, a lost man, said, and I quote, "It seems that the media's only target today is conservative Christians, and people are okay with picking on the Christians because, after all, they expect it." Let me just say this, that it's very hard to wear His name and share His name and bear His name if you are ashamed. If you're ashamed of who you are, ashamed of your God, ashamed of Jesus Christ, ashamed of worshiping the one true, if you're ashamed of those things, you won't share your faith if your faith isn't really working for you. You won't talk about God if you've been living a wicked, sinful life and then sit in church and be a hypocrite. You're going to be ashamed. So you don't speak His name. You don't wear His name. You don't bear His name. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Amen? And may this be our heart's cry. May we never, point number two, profane the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord should never be profaned. It is to be proclaimed, but never profaned. We are not to live a life that contradicts our claim to Christianity. We don't speak God's name in a manner that demeans Him, disrespects Him, or dishonors Him. God was very clear in Exodus, and He was very clear in Leviticus. In Leviticus 19:12, it says, "And you shall not swear by My name falsely, neither shall you profane the name of thy God." Why? Because He says what? I am the Lord. There it is again, capital L-O-R-D. I am Jehovah. God's name is precious and powerful. And when we profane it, we are mocking His name. The word profane in the Hebrew means falsehood, emptiness, lightness, inconsequential, to be dismissive, to throw God's name around. And when we sling His name around, we are, as the Word of God says in the Ten Commandments, bringing guilt into our life. When we toss His name around and say phrases like, "Oh God," or "Oh my God," or "I swear to God," or "God Almighty," or "Oh Lord," when we start talking like that, do you know what you're doing? You're demeaning God. You're bringing Him down. You're taking His name in vain. Even the overuse of God's great name. People are like, "Well, praise God, it's Friday. Praise God, we're having meatloaf. Praise God, we're eating pizza. Praise God for this coffee." Stop! The overuse of God's name causes you to lose its weightiness in your life. Yes, we should praise the Lord. Amen? But when you toss it around, you're losing the significance of that name. Be careful. Phrases like, "I swear to God," or "I swear on a stack of Bible," you better stop. You don't use God's name like that. God says, "Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay." That's it. And here's one that's very concerning. When we say things like, "Well, you know, God told me." What? "Well, you know, I just feel like I ought to." I love it when somebody comes up to you and they'll say, "You know, God told me to tell you this." I'm like, "Oh, brother. I figured out I don't need the Holy Spirit anymore because I've got extras." How many of you got an extra Holy Spirit in your life? Just say amen. "Oh, I got a few extras," right? By the way, there's only one Holy Spirit and we're not it. And when we hear people say things like, "Well, God told me to do this." You got some scripture, do you? You got a word from the Word? I like when people say things like this, "Well, we prayed about it." "Well, you know, I know the Bible says you shouldn't live together, and I know, but, you know, it's just kind of a thing. We prayed about it, and we think God's okay." He's not. I don't know how you arrived at that destination. "Well, you know, we kind of thought and prayed, and we just think God's okay." How did you get there? Somebody not long ago came to me with this kind of kooky theology, and they said, "Well, we've prayed about it." I just looked at him and said, "Well, that's nice." I said, "That's insulting." I said, "You're insulting God. You're insulting Him with your whack theology. Just because you prayed about it doesn't mean it's right." Don't leave me hanging up here, church. We use that phrase to sound so spiritual, but if your prayers contradict clear instruction of the Word of God, guess what? God's not wrong. Note this, not in your notes, extra credit work only. Just remember, God's will for you will never violate His Word. You know what it is when you start saying things like, "God told me, God told me"? Here's what you're doing. What you're doing is what the Bible calls prophesying. Listen, loved ones, be careful when you start down this road. You better be sure you have some scripture and that the Spirit of God is not being grieved. Just because you think or feel something doesn't mean you should say it or that you're right. The Bible warns us about not wanting to be a teacher or a preacher. Greater condemnation, greater judgment. This is serious, friends. Do you know how scared I get when I have to get up here to stand behind the sacred desk of God? Sometimes I'd just rather be down here. Every word is down, down, down. You'll forget what I preached by next Sunday. But God won't. There's greater condemnation in my life. Greater judgment in my life. People are like, I want to teach, I want to preach. I'm like, whoa, slow down. You know, in the Bible, if you prophesied falsely in the Old Testament, you know what happened? You got stoned. If that law was still in effect, half the pulpits in America would be empty. People and pastors running around making false claims about things God never said. Or saying spiritual phrases to justify their sinful actions. Stop. You're taking God's name in vain. One more. Be careful how you throw the words around God bless. Listen, listen, listen. There are some things God cannot bless. Are you hearing that? You're like, what are they? Read your Bible. When a sports figure or a politician or a comedian or a person stands up after a life of debauchery and wickedness and goes, well, God bless you all. He's not going to bless. I just wonder how often we have thrown those phrases around, not realizing the impact of those words. And let me be the first to stick my hand up and say, guilty. Guilty. God's name is holy, isn't it, friends? It's holy. And His name is to be proclaimed. But His name is to never be profaned. And number three, the name of the Lord is to be praised. This is the positive side again. See, we saw the first positive, proclaim it. Now we've seen the negative, don't profane it. But here's the positive. Here's what God is saying. Praise my name. Give praise to who I am. Let the nations know who I am. There are hundreds and hundreds of passages. Hundreds of passages that tell us to praise His name. We're just going to look at about 35 of them this morning, all right? Just checking to make sure you're still with me, okay? To praise God's name. So what does that mean? You just told me not to praise God for pizza, Pastor. I understand. You're missing the point. To praise His name is to speak of His awesomeness. How awesome is our God? How mighty is His name? That's what it means. It's to recognize His authority in your life. Psalm 113, 3 and 4, you say, well, how often should we be praising God? Well, check this out. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be what? It's talking about living a life of praise. It's not you getting up in the morning going, praise God, praise God, praise God. No. It's you living a life of praise unto God. It says the Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above where? What's on the screen? Where? The heavens. This verse isn't saying that you just throw the words around, praise the Lord, in vain. It means to speak of the goodness, show His greatness, and sing His grace. That's what it means. How can we come to church and not open our mouth and sing? You're like, well, I don't have a good voice. Who cares? You're like, well, the guy next to me, he'll be fine. She'll be fine. If they're so off key, move. Or get your heart right and join in. When we are here, if we cannot praise Him here, how will we ever praise Him out there? Listen, you won't. You won't. People standing in church. What is happening right now? We are here to praise His name. We are to be a people filled with praise. As believers, it's interesting. The Hebrew word literally means to make a big deal, to boast about our God. That's what it means to praise. Have you ever known anybody to make a big deal out of nothing? Are they sitting next to you? Don't if they are, but you know what's so true? And God has just rebuked me over this, that there are times in my life where I've made such a big deal about nothing. It's like, you want to make a big deal? I'm a big deal, Todd. Let's proclaim my name. Let's praise my name. Amen? Let's focus on what should be focused on. These other little things, these little scrawny things in our life, these little pithy things that don't mean much, and we make such a big deal. They're nothing compared to Almighty God. He's to be made a big deal over. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let's bring that verse up, guys. Listen what the text says. Here is why we praise God. Here's why. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a... Turn to your neighbor and say, you're so weird. That's what it means. Strange. Why would you do what you're doing? That's so weird. I know. That you should show forth His, say it, of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. And we rest our case with this, don't we? If there was ever a reason that we are to praise God, it's because we are showing the people around us, do you know what God did for me? Do you know how He saved me? Your story, your testimony is not about you, it's about Him. It's about what He did in your life and continues to do. And if there's anything you should be talking about, it is that. Peter says, we show this, we talk of this, we speak of this, who has called us out of darkness. Our very words about God and the way we live representing God shows a world without God that there indeed is a God. And so friends, when we proclaim and praise the name of God, we are giving the light of the glorious gospel into a world in darkness. His name is to be proclaimed. His name should never be profaned. And His name must be, say it, praised.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.